Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be together this morning and be able to sing such beautiful praises and hymns to God. I was remembering how the Apostle Paul, in describing that, he says to be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And sometimes I wonder if we remember and realize that when we are singing praises to God, we are filled with the Spirit. We are filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. And what better time for us to be able to express that than when we are singing praises to God here with one another as a part of the body of Christ, the blood-bought body of Christ, which He purchased with His own blood. And as we come together on the first day of every week, we rejoice together. And during this world that we live in 6 and 7 days a week, it has a tendency to drain some of that from us. But we're able to be encourage one another as we gather together in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. Thank you for being here, and I would invite you to open your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. This morning, we are going to be coming to the end of chapter 11 of Hebrews, this great chapter which emphasizes the beauty of faith and the importance of faith in our lives. It is the great chapter in the Bible on the subject of faith. And as we think about faith here, though, we understand that the theme of this chapter is faith, but the goal of this chapter is endurance in living faithfully and finishing the race that Jesus has given for us to run. So faith produces endurance. Faith produces perseverance in the life of a faithful Christian. And our faith is tested each and every day that we live in this world. But as our faith grows and our faith thrives and endures, we can be well pleasing to God. And those who live by faith are pleasing to God. The Bible says here at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And faith is always looking ahead into the unseen future and grasping hold of that and considering it reality in life, the promises that God has made that are for eternity and for joy and happiness eternal with the Lord in heaven and with all those who have been redeemed by Him. And so this book of Hebrews is exhorting us and encouraging us that we are to overcome all things that Satan and this world would put in front of us to discourage us. We live by faith. And as a result of that, we have this quality of steadfastness and endurance in living for Christ and bringing glory and honor to Him. The purpose of Hebrews chapter 11 is to look at the examples of faith throughout the Old Testament. And there is a catalog of those. There is a survey of faith in the lives of the men and women of the Old Testament who were great examples of faith for us. And beginning with, at the very dawn of history, people like Abel, Enoch, and Noah, who each in their own way lived by faith and endured, and they obeyed God in a world that set them apart, and they were oftentimes laughed at and not received, and yet they lived by faith and they obeyed the Lord, and they stand as great examples of faith. And then he talked about those patriarchs or the fathers of the people of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, those great men who lived by faith. And then he came to the time of the beginning of the nation of Israel, when the Israelites were in captivity in Egypt, and God raised up a leader, a deliverer for them in the person of Moses, who in his very life was spared as an infant child that he might grow up to be a leader of God's people. And Moses showed himself faithful in God's house, as even the Hebrew writer pointed out earlier in the letter. But when he was of full age, he chose not to remain in the home of Pharaoh, but to become identified in his life with the people of God, choosing to suffer the reproach of Christ rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season there living in the palace, as he was had been adopted to be the daughter of Pharaoh when his life was saved there by the Nile River as an infant. And yet he knew that he was an Israelite, and so when he came of age, fully of maybe a 40-year-old man, he made that choice to cast in his way with the Israelite people. And he wasn't received, and so he went and lived in the land of Midian for 40 years. But then he was called back by God, and he did deliver the children of Israel and led them through the Red Sea, and they came to the city of Jericho under Joshua and marched around the city by faith 6 days. And then on the seventh day, seven times they marched around the city and blew the trumpet, and the walls of Jericho fell flat. So God's power, His glory, His greatness was demonstrated time and time again as His people lived by faith. And as the Hebrew writer there in the beginning of chapter 2, it said, "For by it, by faith, the elders obtain a good testimony." So God showed His people that His approval of them, whenever they would be living by faith and continuing to live by faith, in spite of the fact that oftentimes they were very flawed and they sometimes stumbled and fell and did things that were not in accordance with the will of God, and yet they continued to believe and live by faith. And God showed His approval of His people in that way, even there in the Old Testament. The Hebrew writer has been moving then through the Old Testament, and he has been going by these great examples of faith one by one. But as he comes now to the ending part of the letter of chapter 11 of Hebrews, we see that he is going to just begin to abbreviate and condense and generalize some of the remainder, that as he's going to be saying that there are so many of these examples that he could talk about that it would take too long, and because of the time, the constraint of that, he is going to just summarize and be brief from here on out. But there's still many examples of people who lived by faith during these times. So beginning in Hebrews 11 and verse 32, he says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also David and Samuel and the prophets." So he began to move more quickly here and reviewing over the judges, the times of the judges. There are four of judges that he singles out here, just to mention them by name, and not going into any detail of you can read those things in the Bible, of course. And remember those great men of Judges, Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. And as we think about those men, we are, any type of study that you do back into the book of Judges, you begin to see that they are each blemished in their lives, that they were not perfect individuals. They all had many shortcomings. Some of them were very hesitant when God first approached them. Who, me? I cannot be a leader of God's people. I need a woman to help me. If Deborah will go with me, then okay, I will go. Samson was to be a Nazarite, and yet he many times broke that Nazarite vow. He was a failure in so many ways, morally in his life. And Samuel, at the end of that, Jephthah made a rash vow with his daughter in order to win the battle. Lord, if you will help me to win this battle that we're about to fight, I will dedicate to you, sacrifice to you the first thing that comes out of the door of my house when I return home, not realizing that it would end up to be his own daughter who would come out. They were very flawed individuals, but they continued by faith to trust God, and that is the point that the Hebrew writer is encouraging us to understand, that because of that, because they continued to trust God and believe God, that is the reason that they are in the Bible. That is the reason that they are examples for us. Not because of their failures, but because they continue to believe and serve God. And God is powerful, and God blessed them, and God used them. And then he also comes to the time of David as the king of Israel. There were the judges, there were the kings, and there were the prophets. And two of the examples of that would be David and Samuel. David and Samuel, because David was a man after God's own heart. Samuel was sent as the prophet of God to anoint David. And they are examples also of failings in their life. Samuel grew up in the home of Eli, the priest, as a young boy. And Eli was not a good father to his sons. His sons were wicked. And the priesthood was taken away from him because of that. But Samuel, who was a man of God, apparently did not do a very good job raising his children. So these men were also flawed in their lives, and yet God used them because they were people of faith. And so you have the judges, you have the kings, you have the prophets, and they can be added to those. Many other examples can be brought in there as you study the Old Testament. They're all imperfect, but they continued to trust God, and as a result of that, God continued to use them, and God showed his acceptance of his people through these leaders and the lives of faith that they lived. So he continues there in verse 33, and he says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." We can identify some of these unnamed individuals. He does not give the names here of all of the ones that he is pointing out for us to think about it, to recall these great lives of faith. But they quenched the violence of fire. Thing that comes to mind there, first of all, is the three Hebrew children in the days of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they were told to fall down before the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had built there on the plain of Dura. And they stood. They would not bow down. Out of all the multitude of people, three Hebrew young men were still standing. And someone pointed to the king and said, "There's three men out there that are not bowing down." And he called them in and he said, "Is this true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You did not bow down to the golden image?" And they said, "Sir, we did not bow down to it. We're not going to serve your gods." And so he said, "Well, there's a fiery furnace that you will be thrown in the fiery furnace." And they said, "The Lord will be with us in the fiery furnace." And they were thrown in the fiery furnace, and some of the men were looking and they said, "Didn't you throw three men in that fire? There's four men in that fire. walking around and they're unhurt. There's nothing wrong with them. So he stopped and he had the men come up and open them, bring those men out of that fire, and even some of them died in the process. And yet their hair was not singed. Their garments were not burned because God was with them. Karen and I have been reading an interesting, inspirational book by Colleen Chow called A Fierce and Tender God, in which she talks about when she was diagnosed with cancer and the struggles that she has had as a result of that. And her son, Jeremy, was 6 years old when they learned that she had cancer. And when they came home, they were talking to their six-year-old boy and about this. And her husband said, let's read from the Bible. And he read the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And their son, Jeremy, when he finished reading that story, he said, Mom, there's four of us in this family, aren't there? And he was referring to the fact that there's Dad, there's Mom, there's me, and there's one other walking here with us in this home. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. People like Daniel, the mouths of the lions were shut. And so there are amazing examples here. The Hebrew writer is wanting to make the point, though, that with God, with their faith, by their faith, they conquered their enemies. Whenever Joshua went into the land of Canaan, they were outnumbered of the people that were there, and yet God gave them the ability to conquer their enemies because of their faith. And he said, women received their dead raised to life again. So they saw God conquer death even. Death being the last enemy that we are going to face in this life. There were two women that were spoken of in the times of Elijah and Elisha. The woman of Zarephath, the widow of Zarephath, and her son. It was in a time of famine. And Elijah went into the land of Sidon. He went into the Gentile land. And this widow invited him into her home. And they only had a little bit of food left. But Elijah said if they would feed him also, that supply would not give up. It would continue to produce. And sure enough, that's what happened. But one day her son became sick and he died. Elijah went to God and called upon God, and he raised that widow's son back to life. Later, there was another woman in the land of Israel during the days of Elisha that showed great hospitality to the prophet. And they built a room in their home for him when he was traveling through. She did not have any sons, and Elisha prayed to God, and God gave them a son. But then one day when that son was about a teenager, he fell out in the field and he died. And Elisha went to God once again. And that son also was raised from the dead. So through faith, these people of the Old Testament, which he doesn't even have the time to give the names of all of them, they conquered their enemies. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They became valiant. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and even the women received their children back from the dead. But the Hebrew writer then goes on here in the next few verses to talk about the fact that because of the faith of these people that we read about in the Old Testament, they endured afflictions through their faith. And there's a victory there also. Sometimes when you read the Old Testament, you see that because of their faith, God gave them the victory over their enemies. They defeated their enemies. But sometimes you also read in the Old Testament that sometimes those same people living by faith, they endured great afflictions. That was also by their faith, and it was also a victory. To me, if you ask which of those is the greater victory, as David did, he defeated Goliath on the field of battle with the sword and with the sling that he used. Or people like Daniel, who were in the lion's den, and others who suffered great torture and affliction, and yet through their faith, they remained strong and faithful to God. So he said in verse 35, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. You think about the Hebrew Christians of the first century, they might be looking at that and they're saying, yes, but what about us? We are living by faith, and yet we're suffering. Aren't we supposed to be overcoming our enemies? Isn't that what happened to the Israelites in the Old Testament? But the fact is that many of those in the Old Testament, they also suffered afflictions because of their faith. They weren't all victorious, and yet they were living by faith also, and it was also a victory for them when they remained strong and faithful to the very end. Others were tortured. Now, we don't read about that so much in the Old Testament, but in the apocryphal books of 2 Maccabees, it tells about the time when under the evil ruler Antiochus Epiphanes, somewhere around the year 168 BC, he was trying to destroy the Jewish religion. And there were eight brothers. One of them was Eliphaz, and his seven brothers, and they were all tortured one by one. The literal word that is used is they were the rack. They used a torture instrument called the rack on these seven brothers. And one by one, they died. But each one, they were giving the opportunity that they could be released if they would curse Jehovah God. One by one, they refused. And when they came to the seventh brother, the youngest, their mother was standing there, and she encouraged her youngest son. She said, "Son, do not deny the Lord, because I will see you again." And he also, like his seven brothers, endured the torture even to the very death. There have been those throughout the Old Testament and those throughout the New Testament who have faced that type of persecution, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. A better resurrection than some of those in the Old Testament, their son died and the prophet prayed for them and they were raised back to life. And yet there were some that didn't happen. They died, but there is a better resurrection that is coming after this life. And God's people know about that. And God's people trust and believe that. And know that this life is not worthy to deny the Lord, because there is a better resurrection that is coming ahead. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They endured torture even unto death, because they knew there is a better resurrection. And they endured these persecutions because of their faithfulness to God. He said they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom? And I love that expression that he puts here. He said, of whom the world was not worthy. To the world, they were what the Apostle Paul describes in 1 Corinthians. He said they were the scum of the earth, the offscouring of all things. And yet these were people that the world was not worthy of the kind of faith that they lived. And they died for their faith in God, to remain faithful to Him. The world is not worthy of those kind of champions of faith. And yet the world often looks at them and they say they are the scum of the earth. They have no respect for them. The world is that way oftentimes today with true people godly of faith that live and serve the Lord and stand faithfully for Him. The world despises them. They're not honored in this world, but God, they are pleasing in His sight. And there is a better resurrection coming for those who live by faith. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And so they endured homelessness in many cases. They were driven out of their homes. And some of them lived in caves, looking for a better home than, as it says in the case of Abraham. So in verse 39, he said, "In all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." These individuals then, throughout the Old Testament, they all obtained a good testimony. Whether they lived, were among those that overcame and defeated their enemies, or they were among those that endured the afflictions, they all were victorious. They all obtained the approval of God. Not because they were perfect individuals, but because they endured through faith in God. They did not receive the promise, though, of God's ultimate blessings that He has in store for His people. Why? Because they lived in the Old Testament. Christ had not come into the world at that time. But He said, God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So there's a family of faith that goes from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we're all part of the same family of faith. Those people who lived before, many of them lived amazing lives trusting God. And they never did receive the promise of eternal life that was given at that time. They were looking for what has now come to pass for us. Something better. A better covenant. We have a better covenant. We have Jesus Christ who gave a better sacrifice. He shed His own blood for us that we might have eternal redemption. He has entered into the true sanctuary, the tabernacle, sitting at the right hand of God to be our high priest. And so all of those things that those people were living by hope, looking to the future, we now have the ability to experience those things. The Hebrew writer is exhorting those brethren. He's exhorting us. Don't let anything keep us from enduring. Whatever the world sends our way, continue to put your trust in God. And you will have the approval of God. God's approval was granted to all of those who live by faith. And it will be committed to all those who live by faith. There's a great book of history, Fox's Book of Martyrs. It talks about the persecutions of many of the early Christians. It said, it has been said that the lives of the early Christians consisted of persecution above ground and prayer below ground. Their lives are expressed by the Colosseum and the catacombs. Beneath Rome are the excavations, which we call the catacombs, which were at once temples and tombs. The early church of Rome might well be called the church of the catacombs. There are some 60 catacombs near Rome, in which 600 miles of galleries have been traced. And these are not all. These galleries are about 8 feet high, from 3 to 5 feet wide, containing on either side several rows of long, low, horizontal recesses, one above another like the berths in a ship. In these, the dead bodies were placed and the front closed, either by a single marble slab or several great tiles laid in mortar. On these slabs or tiles, epitaphs or symbols are graved or painted. Both pagans and Christians buried their dead in these catacombs. When the Christian graves have been opened, the skeletons tell their own terrible tale. Heads are found severed from the body. Ribs and shoulder blades are broken. Bones are often calcified from fire. Many Christians then gave their lives for their faith in Jesus Christ, and yet they endured by faith. The writer here is exhorting us to realize the beauty, the greatness of what we have been blessed by God in the salvation that has been provided for us. And sometimes we're able to be the beneficiary of God giving us a victory in this life that we can put our hands on. And yes, we have overcome the enemies that we are dealing with. But sometimes it may be the case that we are the ones who undergo the afflictions. But whichever it may be, we need to be victorious and remain strong and faithful, because the ultimate promises that we are being given by God are not going to be fulfilled in this life. They're going to be fulfilled in the life that is to come. And that is the encouragement and the exhortation that the Hebrew writer is leaving for us today. We're going to stand and sing the invitation psalm. And there may be one today. There may be, if you're here this morning and you would like to commit your life to Jesus and come to Him by faith and surrender your life to Him and receive the promises, the blessings of eternal life and forgiveness of sins, fellowship with God's people in His church, which is purchased by His blood. We're going to stand and sing the invitation. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the